Welcome back, everybody, to the Cave of Solitude, your pop culture and comic book podcast coming to you from the megacity metropolis of Toronto. I am your host, Eric Anthony, and with me for this very special episode, the first Cave of Solitude episode of the decade, the one and only, the beautiful Lady J.
Hello.
Welcome back, Lady J, for back-to-back episodes. You were on the last episode of the decade. And the first of a new decade, the way it should be, proper. Are you excited?
Yes.
So we are going to back to the well of everybody's, I think, favorite type of podcast is when you go through a list of your top 10, your top 5, whatever it might be. And since the decade, a decade has ended, the 2010s, I was thinking actually at first, what were some of my favorite books that I read during the decade of the 2010s, like comic books, if I could come up with stuff that I liked. Was it a good decade? Was it not? How about TV shows? How about music? And then, of course, you being the movie buff that you are and the Netflix junkie that you are, I said this would be a lot of fun to get Daph J.
Because it wouldn't be fun with books because I would have nothing to offer in that conversation.
That's not true. Well, you wouldn't have maybe read things that came out specifically in that decade, but movies, you're my regular movie partner, and you also recommend a lot of movies to me to watch that you've seen before me. So have you come up with a 10 top 10 for yourself, or was it too hard for you to come up with this list?
It wasn't an easy list to get together because either you forget what movies you've seen, I found myself like, oh, that's not of this decade.
Mm-hmm.
That's of another decade.
Right,
and
right.
And it's like you're confusing. I found that I was confusing my films and release dates and whatnot. I remember it differently.
Right, right.
So yeah, but it wasn't that easy for me. I had to kind of dig deep into the, I had to do research.
Into your mental Rolodex?
Mm-hmm.
Overall, would you say it was a good decade of movies for you?
I will say there was a particular year that I didn't realize that was a good year.
Interesting.
It was a good movie year for me.
I wonder if we have the same one.
I hope not.
No, like the same year of like that experience.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I wonder if it's the same. Because I had one of them like, ooh, this was a good...
This was a good year.
This was a good year. It's like a fine wine.
It was a very good year.
So, I figured to celebrate, we should pop some champagne.
Hey.
So, we've got your favorite brand, but it's bubbly. Oh. The Bodacious.
Mm-hmm.
Bubbles, it's called. Literally. So, I'm going to pop it. By the fireplace.
What's gonna happen?
Well, we got a blanket here just in case there's a bit of a mess. Watch your electronics, okay?
Cause how about the laptop under warranty or no longer under warranty?
Well, I want to get the pop on the mic, but maybe you should duck.
Oh, good things happen to me.
Bad things don't happen to me.
Don't aim it at the fire. Okay.
Okay. Keep talking.
Okay.
I think we're going to be good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You feel it?
I feel it. I don't think it's going to, like, make a mess, though.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to stand up for a better grip. Because I'm sitting down with my legs crossed. And I'll point it in the opposite direction.
Yeah. Don't take out anyone's eye.
Keep talking.
Well, because the silence is making you uncomfortable. The suspense is killing me. This has been... It's been a minute now.
It has been a minute. It's in there good, which is... Which is good, because yesterday, it came out very easy.
Well, folks, you know this is unscripted.
Very unscripted. But here it comes.
Okay. All right. What's happening?
It's coming.
Uh-huh. This sounds like a very...
inappropriate podcast.
Sounds like the first time.
No. No. Those are different comments that were made.
Are you still having some trouble with them?
I just don't want to rip off the top of the cork and not be able to get it.
What's the worst you'll get? Then you have to use the screwdriver.
No, you don't want to do that with a champagne bottle because it's pressure.
Oh, that's right. Okay, can you tell? This is why we just get wine. Oh, it's coming. Okay.
I should have had this, like, ready
a little bit more. That's what I thought you did. Okay. Well, it's okay. That's fine.
Keep singing your Frank Sinatra.
I don't think they need to be tortured with that. It's coming. I could see it more. I could see the head coming out of it.
Daphne!
No, I could see the neck, the bottle of the neck, the neck of the bottle coming out. That's what I meant to say. All right. Okay.
Should I shake the bottle?
No, hells no.
There we go. No mess. That's the big success, right? No mess.
Congratulations. That only took 2 minutes and 30 seconds.
Hey, the key is no mess. I could have shaken it and it would have helped it.
Isn't the mess a part of the whole, like, experience?
Well, if you've, like, won a championship or something, yeah, you're right. But...
like an F1...
absolutely.
...ranking.
How would you feel if someone shook up a bottle of champagne and it was just all that stinging spraying in your face?
In my house?
Wherever.
No, not in my house ever.
I think you'd have to wear like...
you know what it is though too? It would just get sticky after. I don't think I can handle that kind of responsibility.
Responsibility?
Yeah. Because I gotta clean it up. But it'd be everywhere. It'd be on the ceiling, it'd be on the walls. It's just too much. Can we get back
Let's
to why we're here?
Let's get back to why we're here. Absolutely. Because we always go off on these tangents that start to sound like something completely different. Okay. So, as always, in order to be gentlemanly, I would say ladies first. I want to ask you, though, if your list is constructed in a... is it like... have you ranked them in order? So you're going from 10 down to 1. Are you going from number 1 to 10? Like, how are you?
I have not. These are in no particular order. However, I will disclose them in order of years from the beginning to the end of the decade.
So you're doing in like some sort of a sequential order.
Fine. Yeah, no. Sure. That word.
Well, no, that's what I'm just wondering if there's a system to your madness.
That's what I just said.
Okay.
I didn't give it a fancy word.
I don't think
sequential. With more than 3 syllables.
Sequential. 3 syllables.
Oh, I thought you said doesn't matter, whatever.
Okay.
That was my thing. So there, one is not more favorite than the other. It's okay. Just how they've come out throughout the years.
Okay. Did you find yourself, did you find it difficult to not include, like for me, I feel looking back at the decade, it was definitely... not that there ever has been a decade that wasn't, but this was definitely the decade of Disney because they took ownership of so many different properties and the most successful movies of the decade clearly coming from Marvel and Star Wars and whatnot. So it was definitely a Disney-centric decade. Was it hard to stray from that or was there, were on your radar in that regard?
I don't think I was, what is it when you're forced to do something? Coerced?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, the short answer is no.
Okay.
I wasn't, no. Maybe, I have no idea.
Okay, well, no. Well, as we go through the list, I guess we'll talk about all those
experiences. You know what I found difficult? I found difficult not picking movies or, yeah, finding that there was movies that I'm like, should I pick that one? Because it was such a big deal.
Right, yeah.
But it was good. It was really good. But is it my favorite or was it the favorite of...
The masses. Right.
And therefore it would, that's where I felt like, should this go on the list? Because it's list worthy.
Right.
But is it really my selection? So that's what I think I had more difficulty with.
Right. Did you find that sometimes having seen something in the theater affected your memory of your appreciation for the movie? Or was it just a matter of it being a good movie?
A good movie.
So whether you saw it at home, on your iPad, in the theater?
It was just a good movie for me.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause for me, I found that some of my... what resonated with me in what, like, that was special. I often found not always, but the memory of going to the theater for it. Mm-hmm. Like the anticipation, the maybe the podcast we did afterwards, if we saw it more than once. Do you know what I mean? Like all of those type of things surrounding it affected mm-hmm. kind of my emotions towards some of these films. Some of them I watched strictly on a streaming service, but for others, I was kind of like, I wonder if I'm being persuaded too much by the movie theater experience. So, okay, let's get into it. You take it away. Start where, whichever decade or whichever year in the decade.
Don't peek at my list.
I can't peek at your list. It's pointing at you. It's your tablet.
Do you have backups in case we have any doubles?
Okay. Okay, so how I did it was just to, before we start, I went through each decade to kind of jog my memory.
Right.
Because I was having that same experience you were having of, when did that come out? Did that make it in the 2010s or was that a 2008, 2009? And then there's, of course, there's some movies that may have come out that I watched 2 years later. Like I may not have watched it that year.
Right.
So I went and did like year by year, what were the big films that came out? And then I wrote all the ones that I had seen.
Yeah.
Or that I really liked at first. But then I went and wrote all the ones that I remember watching each year. And then after I looked at each year.
Wow,
you
really went through a process.
Yeah. Then I put ones in bold letters that were like definite on my list.
Uh-huh.
And then either honorable mentions or possible ones that make my list, I put in italics to remember. Just to know, I did a Martin Slam Duncan list this time.
You sound like a psychopath.
Yeah, well, there is a lot. And you know what I realized?
I just color-coded mine.
Well, you're very much, you're just as much of a psychopath.
Just so that I wouldn't confuse, because I have some on the same page. Like, doesn't matter, who cares? Go, you. Me?
You're first.
Okay, so
you take it away.
My first movie of the decade that I thoroughly enjoyed.
Oh, I want to guess it. I'm gonna put it in my head, and then I'm gonna tell you if I was right.
Okay. Can I continue?
Yeah.
That I thoroughly enjoyed then, and I enjoyably enjoy each time I watch it.
I know what it is.
It was released in 2010, straight off the hop.
Right off the hop.
Yeah. Inception.
Yeah, I knew it. That was the one.
Great movie.
Great
it's
movie.
It's a great film, actually.
A film? What's the difference between a movie and a film?
A movie is something you can lay back and just chill and, like, watch and just, you know, okay, an escape. But a film is moving and life-changing, and it really...
Substance.
You walk away... I find I walk away thinking about it days after I've watched it. Like, it stays with me. It resonates.
Okay.
Yeah. They're both great,
mm-hmm.
but one kind of has that substance of that.
Did you feel that way immediately when you saw it, or was it more as you rewatched it that you're like, I really like this movie?
I think it was with subsequent watches, not to say that the initial didn't make it. I just know I was kind of like, what? It was like... The Matrix of the 2010s.
Yeah,
but palatable. Like, yeah, I can rewatch. It's classy, it's clean, it's a heist movie. I'm all about heist movies, but it's a heist movie of the mind.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very tricky and it's like it's a mind trick.
Yeah.
Right? I love the cast, and I started noticing a trend with Nolan and his favorites.
Mm-hmm.
He has a lot of reoccurring actors
in his
films. And Hans Zimmer did the score, which I thought was amazing. The music in that film is so cool. I enjoyed it.
Inception was one of those ones that was going to be on my list, but I knew how much it meant to you, and I'm like, this is probably going to be her first pick, especially
when... So that was your sacrificial goat?
Kind of, like it's in the italics on the list, but because it is, like you said, one of those, it's a mind bender, it's very high concept, but it sticks to the rules. There is a point in that movie where I always kind of get a little bit lost, where I'm like, I don't even know where I am in this dream process.
Right.
And every time you watch it, you get something else from it.
Always. Right. I found that, you know what, I think I've lost count as to how many times I've seen it, but each time that I have, I'm like, I don't remember that scene, or I don't remember that phrase, or, oh, that's been explained.
Yeah.
I'm like, whoa. It's like I learned something new each time I see it.
Yeah, the replay value of it is rewarding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great way of putting it.
And I think that's, like you said, the difference between those movies that were great to watch that one time, but then the subsequent watches, when you can go back and it's, you know the movie, but you get a new experience from it.
Yeah.
You fall in love with it every time.
Mm-hmm.
That movie definitely does that. If you hear King Kong footsteps in the background, there's like a boom. And it seems that Godzilla is coming. That's Kobe the dog with her bone that has stuffed vegetables inside. And she's trying to outsmart the system by just letting them hit the ground. So that's what that noise will be. Kobe is here with us.
So what Eric's trying to say is his acoustics and equipment is just fine.
That's right.
It's not his fault.
Okay. Blame the dog.
Yeah, that was my first pick.
Okay. I want to do what you're doing with the going in order, but I find that might be too hard for me.
Okay. That's okay.
So I'm going to jump to 2012. And 2012, I didn't see, I can't think of too many from that year, but there were a couple definite standouts.
Uh-huh.
Avengers was one of them. Big deal. That movie finally coming together.
Which one? There's so many.
The first one. The very first Avengers.
When did that come out?
2012.
Really?
Yeah.
The one where they're in New York and they come out of the sky?
Yeah.
And Tony takes the thing and shoots it to the ship?
Yeah.
No way!
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
So...
That seems so long ago.
Right? It's 8 years. It's 8 years. So wow. that was...
And they've made so many movies in between then and now.
Yeah, it was very hard for me with this list to not just put Marvel movies. Because there was a lot of them.
Tons, yeah.
Tons. And they were all... quite good, in my opinion. She's just staring at us now, saying, can someone help me with this bone? Dark Knight Rises came out that year, which I liked a lot at the time, but I don't like it as much as the years go by. I still like it, but I liked it way more in that moment of seeing it. But my pick for 2012 is a movie that you don't like.
I have to watch it myself. I know. Can I play this game?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm going to say it out loud. Should I say it out loud? No, you know what? Say it.
Okay.
And I'll tell you if it's right.
I'm going to...
I know what it is.
Okay. So it has some of the people from Inception.
Is the star of one of my favorite Christmas movies in it?
Yes.
I hate that movie. I hate it.
I don't know why you hate it so much.
It's so stupid.
It's not stupid. The movie I'm talking about is Looper.
Ugh.
Rian Johnson, before he made The Last Jedi, the reason why I was hopeful for Last Jedi was because he directed Looper, which again is a pretty high concept sci-fi drama, action movie starring Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Bruce Willis. I don't know how to summarize it, but Joseph Gordon-Levitt is playing, I guess, a gun for hire in, you know, the modern time that you're watching it. But their shelf life expires when their older self is sent back and they kill themselves unknowingly, because the way that it works is that the gangsters of the future send back their victims or the people that they're getting a hit on, and someone in the past eliminates them, not knowing who it is, because there's a bag over their head, right? And they get paid in silver or gold for the hit. And you know that your time is up, or you're out of the business, when you've eliminated yourself and you've been paid in gold. And this is a caper of Joseph Gordon-Levitt's future self, which is played by Bruce Willis, both of them...
Also known as John McClane.
Who are... They've disrupted the system. And it's having ramifications on on everything. So I mean, I thought it was a great movie. It kept me guessing. It's got a pretty solid ending as well. Daft doesn't like it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why. I feel like you would like this if you discovered it on your own, but I think because I introduced it and kind of forced you to be like, this is so good.
I don't get it.
Mm. But you get Inception.
I don't get Inception either, but it's at least more, I don't know, there's something about Looper, it's just so annoying to me, but hey, it's your list.
But that was a year where I didn't watch that much, but the movies that, I had a lot of italicized movies from that year. Argo, Hunger Games, Silver Lining Playbooks, Avengers, all from 2012. Movies I really, really enjoyed watching. Okay, you, go ahead.
Toy Story 3, 2010. I felt like this movie... Okay, first of all, Toy Story changed the game, right? In regards totally. To animation stuffs. And initially, though, I remember when it first came out, and I think it was... Everyone kind of was in agreement, too, that was it really necessary to have a number 3? Because everything kind of, like, finished happily with number 2. Like, we got introduced to new characters, and Woody got a whole other clan that belonged to him. He belonged to this additional thing. And anyway, I just thought to myself, do we really need one? But as watches go on, I just thought it was a great movie. I love the whole take that they did on this, what's it called? Like this mafioso film, right? It was like watching the Goodfellas from Animaniacs, right? But it was it's transitioned into
the Toy Story world.
Yeah, that whole like mobster scene and how they keep things organized.
The round table meetings underground.
I thought it was great.
Those movies are super, super clever.
And and the story that was told within this movie was a different take on how Andy really didn't need them anymore. Because he had outgrown them. But it was a nice way then to kind of put to bed this trilogy or franchise of these toys, because it provided an emotional and satisfying closure for the toys and for Andy. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like, okay, now we're really done. Like, this is a happy ending. Yeah. Put a bow on it. We're good.
I agree. I thought it was a great way to finish the circle of Andy has grown up. The toys are still the toys, but what happens to them and where they end up is very satisfying, and especially when you consider, I guess, the representation of like children and the imagination and what the role that toys play. Like, it was so clever.
In that incinerator scene,
oh.
I mean, who knew toys can pull at your heartstrings like that on the big screen? That was something, it was a spectacular movie.
For a long time, you were kind of on the fence with that one. It was the Toy Story, like, I don't like that one. I don't like the bear.
But that's why, he was scary, Lotso. But again, to reiterate my point, it was kind of like, why did we need to do this? It was fine the way it was.
Mm-hmm.
But as we said, it was a nice way to kind of put the whole story of these characters to bed. In a reasonable way. They're not just discarded toys, because really it could have ended like that. Like, okay, they're in the bedroom, they're fine. But it really allowed us to kind of end that relationship on a high note.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I agree. I really, really like that movie. I haven't seen Toy Story 4. We haven't seen Toy Story 4.
No.
But that movie...
That one, I think I feel more like, ugh.
Why?
Why?
Yeah.
But
I'm sure it's good. All the Toy Stories have been... great movies.
Yeah.
I haven't been disappointed with... And I can't even pick a favorite amongst the three, because they're all... They all have that unique moment that you kind of can't wait to watch again.
Mm-hmm.
And you find the toys in these situations where it's like, man, how did they think of that one to tug at you? You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I thought, too, it was such a commentary on the fact, like, the imagination that we have, like, it can take us places as opposed to today. I mean, I don't have kids, I don't know, but it doesn't seem like today's I don't know, are kids playing with toys? Now it's more devices and electronic stuff, right?
Yeah.
So I would say, and I say this not having kids and not living with kids, that there's a lack of imagination or social skills because there isn't that exuberant, let me participate, let me be a part of something. So I don't know.
Yeah, no, I definitely the way we play...
Times have changed since that movie came out. Yeah. Since the first one came out.
Definitely the way we play is so different, but...
And then the actual characters of the movie, you can actually have them.
Yeah.
Like, they were actual toys that could be your toys.
It was
like,
really a genius idea.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And they're all different toys, but now they're a set. These random... The cowboy and a spaceman and a pig and, like... They're part of the Toy Story set, but individually, the way that the character in the movie played with them, it was just him taking what he had and making the most of them.
Mm-hmm.
It was very special. Good pick. I like it a lot. 2014. I'm going to jump to 2014. This is a movie I saw on Netflix, on the streaming service. I'm... So far, straying away from the superhero movies. There are some on my list, but this was one that's very down to earth. It's got it's real feel good, slice of life type of movie. A good father and son story, kind of a road tripping story as well, and it makes me hungry every time I watch it. Chef.
Oh.
I really enjoyed Chef. I felt great the first time I seen it.
Who introduced you to that?
You did.
I did.
Yeah. Did we see it together or did you watch it before me?
You know what it was? I remember when we watched it. I think I remember putting it on because I think it was late at night.
Mm-hmm.
And we said, like, oh, let's just put something on so we can just fall asleep and whatnot. It doesn't take you nothing to fall asleep. But I ended up actually watching it. Like, I had my eyes closed and I would hear things and I would open up one eye and I was like, what are they doing? What's happening here? And then, what's his name? Luisiano came out.
Oh, John Luisiano.
Yeah, and I'm like, what's he doing here? And then there was a kid. I'm like, what's happening? And I was getting, what is this here?
Reeled in.
Reeled in with the dialogue, the kid, the whole everything that was happening. And I think I ended up watching it that entire night. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, crap, what am I going to watch now to go to sleep? It's 3 a.m. And then I had told you about it. And then I rewatched it with you.
Yeah. And I think what I enjoy about it is even though you've got these well-known names and faces, I really bought into the character's authenticity of John Favreau being an actual chef and Luisiano being his partner in crime and the whole idea of him being a guy who's kind of lost his passion. He's gotten into the comfort zone of being, you know, a well-known, respected chef, but he's lost that sense of inspiration, that sense of passion for his art, because really, cooking is an art. So when he finds himself again, it's on a much more grassroots level, and he goes through the summer with his son traveling through the United States with his food truck.
And making, as absent as he was in certain ways, it was endearing that his son wanted to be with him.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't like this resentful relationship and that they had to mend this broken thing. It was just like, I just want to be with you.
Yeah.
And he was hesitant, but it kind of unraveled naturally.
Yeah.
Like, it was really, you're right, it was a feel-good movie.
Yeah.
At the end of it.
It dealt with real issues, but there was a certain level of, it starts off with Jon Favreau's character having, you know, that sense, that sort of celebrity scandal blow up. He becomes like...
he was entitled.
He's trending, you know, maybe for the wrong reasons. But then the solution to it wasn't just vengeance or Retribution. It was him making a moment with his son and his best friend and making memories together. And
I think it was more a statement of, or a commentary of, taking control of your own happiness.
Yeah, yeah, completely.
That's it. Whatever it might be. If you want a road trip, if you want to have a meal, if you want to just be by yourself, no apologies. You just do what you need to do to get to the next day.
Right. And it isn't a matter. It was not him just trying to reclaim his status or celebrity. It was him trying to reclaim his joy that he had originally, which I can relate to. I really enjoyed that. And I could rewatch it, you know, numerous times.
It's funny. You don't own it.
I don't own it because it's not nowadays.
Yeah, can you even own movies that were released on a streaming service or not?
Well, it was released in theaters, but it wasn't like a huge hit. So now it's like if you go to the Walmart or the Best Buy, your selection of what you can get is not like when you were able to go to a specialized movie music type of store. Mm. You know, so it's not one that I own. Would I own it? Yeah, definitely. But nowadays, with the streaming services, it's going to be played on somewhere. So I'm happy about that. So that was a movie that I had heard, actually, about Jon Favreau on a podcast talking about it. And I said, that sounds good. It sounds like a fun, independent type of movie. And when I finally got a chance to watch it, it surpassed my expectations. So Chef made my list.
Excellent.
Number 8 for you, or your next one.
My next one. I'm going to go with a 2011 movie. Moneyball.
Ah, I was going to say that before, Chef. Moneyball was one of those ones on my list. Mm-hmm. Love that movie.
I think it's a great movie.
It is a great movie.
Yep. That's all.
Tell me about Moneyball.
I don't want to spoil it. What if people want to see it?
Well, it's not a movie really you can spoil because it's based on a true story and like actual archived events because it's based around the Oakland Athletics, right?
Yeah, it's an analytical, evidence-based, sabermetric approach of assembling a baseball team that had no money. And
wait a second. You were, yep, Moneyball, that's it. Meanwhile, you have all of these words that I'm like, what?
Yeah, it's a great movie. It really is. And you know what? You want to know why I like it so much?
Tell me.
Because it's nothing, and this is obviously my opinion, and you know, you can disagree with me. It's nothing what I feel like an entertaining movie would be. A, it's about baseball.
But you like baseball
movies. I'm not saying I don't like it, but I do like baseball in person more than on TV. I'm not watching baseball on TV. It's slow.
No, but okay? you do like your baseball. Like you're one.
I like my baseball movies. You like baseball because movies. I like the drama. I like the interpersonal things that happen in that world. Mm-hmm. The sport itself stabbed me in the eye because what the hell? Like it's a little slow in comparison to other sports events on TV.
Yeah, yeah.
So A, it's about baseball. Two, the tone of it is, it's not like an action blockbuster film. There isn't any special effects. A lot of it is dialogue. It's very slow moving, but not slow like boring. Just kind of like, it's a story. It's a story being told.
A lot of human moments.
Very much so. And I think that's what makes it so endearing. And it's funny, but it's not like laugh out loud, slapstick, funny. It's kind of like, did that just happen? His reaction or facial expressions. It's not an obvious hilarity type of moment. It's that sarcastic, dry humor thing. And I'm all about that.
Yeah. And I think it's one of those movies too that when you rewatch it, you get the humor, the humorous moments resonate with you a little more.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
That was up there on my list. I almost listed that as well. That's a great movie.
It's a great movie. I like the pace of it. The acting is great. Jonah Hill, Brad Pitt is in it. A couple of other people. And they have like live footage of the things that were actually happening.
That's always cool.
And the stats. It's
and it happened during our lifetime too, which I think is another cool thing to consider. Like this wasn't one of those baseball stories that happened, you know, in the 60s where when you ask people who may have been alive during that time, they may, if they didn't live in that city, they may not have known about it.
Yeah.
Whereas now there is all of that footage, and you can the archive of it is recent, and it did change a lot of for a certain level. It did change the some of the baseball analytics, as you put it.
Absolutely, it did.
For I don't know if they still go by that, because it's always changing as they figure out new and different ways to.
Yeah, it's a clash of ideals, really.
But yeah, it was. And it was, you found yourself appreciating a sport, understanding it a little bit differently after watching it, to an extent.
I think, too, just to kind of put an end to this and move on, I think what I liked about this movie is that you didn't necessarily have to be a baseball fan or even a sports fan to appreciate what this film had to offer.
Right.
It was just a really good story.
Right.
Of real events and how it did make an impact on, you know, the connection of business and baseball, the baseball game, and everything surrounding that. I really enjoyed it. Next.
Yeah, good pick.
Thanks.
I'm going to jump to 2015. This was, I think, a moment right in the middle of the decade that everybody was excited and anticipating across, I think, globally. And when Disney acquired the rights of Marvel movies,
okay,
you really got to see where they could take it. And then when they acquired the rights for Lucasfilms, there was a lot of speculation of what could be. And Star Wars Force Awakens was a moment. It was a moment. Was that on your list?
Absolutely it was. Yeah.
Star Wars Force Awakens is a moment in the decade. Whether or not you like the most recent trilogy as your favorite, but that movie, when it came out, it
this is why I wanted to go in order of like, because
years.
Anyway, whatever.
Well, you can still talk about
it.
Go ahead. You took Inception and Moneyball. I gave those to you.
They were in your italics.
Because I knew they were your picks. I knew that you loved those movies.
Go on.
But Force Awakens was something that when you saw that first preview of Han and Chewie entering the Millennium Falcon, I remember you standing up and applauding.
I got a wave going then.
Yeah, you did. But it, for me, it delivered on everything that I wanted a Star Wars movie to be of a new generation.
You know what it is? Can I tailgate on your,
absolutely,
on your thing? It was my new hope.
Yeah.
It was my new hope, my experience. It was what it was to everybody else when it came out in 77.
Yeah.
I was able to experience that firsthand. I got my droid. You know, I got BB-8.
Mm.
We got introduced to that. You know, Chewie and Han and the Falcon were there yet again and still just as relevant as when they first came out, even more so.
Yeah.
Right? Because they have such a following. And I like the bad guy. And the bad guy had a helmet. Same as the other guy. It was my new hope.
Mm-hmm.
I got to live what the original fans got to experience when it first came out.
Yeah, it definitely paid respect in the right ways. And it was a good primer for people who maybe didn't have any connection to Star Wars previously. It gave them all of the things that fans, people who were already fans, it gave them, oh, that's why people like it. It had all those touchstones.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe for some who were very familiar with the franchise were like, ah.
The same reasons we like it, I think, is the same reasons that
people, yeah, were like,
been there, done that.
But I think you needed that. And I felt it was different enough to really separate itself than some of the things that followed it. Or I felt they were trying, it seemed like they were trying to recreate that same sense of tone.
Mm-hmm.
In the next movies that followed, even though Force Awakens is very much, like you said, the new generation, new hope, and Last Jedi was trying to be the Empire, and this Rise was, you know, Rise of Skywalker was Return of the Jedi in its own way. This one was like, oh, Star Wars is back.
Yeah.
And it feels good.
It feels right.
It feels right.
Yeah.
I think after all of the 9 films, I don't know if I said it in our last podcast, but I think I said it to you after the fact. My favorite Star Wars movies have Harrison Ford in them.
Hmm. Yeah.
And Force Awakens. Yeah. Force Awakens is one of those.
Yeah, I remember you saying that.
I feel like he's a difference maker for me. So this was the where he was properly in it.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily Han Solo, because Solo exists and I'm fine with that, but I wouldn't put it up there amongst my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
But when Harrison Ford is in a Star Wars movie, I love those movies quite a bit. So 2015, Force Awakens, it made me very happy.
Good and, for you.
Yeah. I took one of yours away, so you've got to have a backup now.
Well, I have one that's also in the stars.
Oh.
2014 release of...
Wait. 2014.
No.
I got to see what's on my list. I know what it is. Go ahead.
What is it?
There's two movies, 2014, that are in the stars. One is from your director, Christopher Nolan, which was Interstellar.
Mm.
But I don't think we've seen that movie more than twice, if
once.
That. We saw it once. I'd love to see it again. But it is pretty heavy.
It's so, I don't know what happened.
Yeah, I'd like to see it, but I don't think it's that one.
That guy could just never give you a straight answer.
Never. You leave thinking about his movies.
Yeah.
So, continue.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Great pick.
That's it.
Go ahead. What do you got there?
The only thing I can say about why I like that movie so much is because I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know anything about the characters. I had absolutely no expectation. I, in fact, didn't even want to watch it.
Yeah.
You're kind of like, I think you went to go see it while I went away for work or something.
Yeah.
And you're like, do you want to go to movies? I'm like, sure. And you're like, what do you want to watch? I'm like, I don't know. And you're like, let's go see it. I'm like, no. I'm not watching. No. And then I remember speaking to the man that is my father. And he said to me.
The man that is my father.
He said to me, I said, Eric said this, and he's like, yeah, you should go. And I'm like, why? He's like, I saw it. It's so good. And he's like, it's so funny. And I'm like, really? Well, I'll give it a chance. Kind of. And that's how that came across. I didn't care to go see it. And it was a surprise that I didn't even know was coming. Like, I laughed. It was witty. The soundtrack was awesome. I fell in love with characters I didn't even know were out there.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it was very hard for me to not just list 10 Marvel movies, because Guardians of the Galaxy was the moment when it was definitely the most surprising movie of the decade for me. The one that completely surprised me, shocked me, didn't realize I would love it so much.
And I don't know if what I'm going to say is accurate, but I think this was one of the first movies, if not the first movie, that made me say, wow, Marvel has it Marvel has it. Marvel
yes.
has this thing.
Yes.
And they're just going to take over. Where I was almost like, I wouldn't say I was a DC fan over Marvel, but I absolutely am a Batman fan. And so that's where my bias was.
I definitely
but
was.
I think this movie was the one that made me say, oh.
Yeah.
There's another wave coming from over here.
That's exactly what I was going to say. You took the words right out of my mouth. I thought it was going to be a flop. I'm like, this is the one they're going to mess up. Who's going to want to watch this? I don't even know people who were big. Like, nobody was like, can you believe the Guardians of the Galaxy? And I'm like, I'm not a Marvel fan. Over my head.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems that a lot of people had that sort of like, why this?
Yeah.
Sort of thing. And it really was a turning point for me as a comic book fan to say, I think there's a lot of Marvel that I will love that I didn't realize because of my bias.
Right.
And when I saw that movie, it gave me both feelings of joy and anger. Because I said, if they were able to do this with a property that people aren't as familiar with or invested in, how did they mess up Green Lantern?
Yeah.
That's what I said. If you could do this, Green Lantern should have been able to work.
Yeah.
And Marvel did it.
And the fact that they took such obscure characters and made them household names.
Oh.
how the heck did that happen?
Amazing.
So you almost got to tip your, like, not only is this movie on my list because I like it, but it's one of those that you should actually tip your hat, because this was executed superbly.
Yeah.
And done, like I said, with characters that really, how did that bring people in droves? I don't know.
It was, yeah, it really showed me that with a little bit of care, these guys are forced to be reckoned with. And patience,
you know, Marvel, I think, especially because what they've been able to accomplish with the whole Avengers stories. I mean, they took their time.
Yeah.
They didn't rush to yeah, anyway, just each, reiterating
each,
what you said.
Yeah, no, each of the movies that they were putting out, as much as we may have wanted that big, big moment to get to, we were constantly being satisfied with whatever they were adding to the pantheon of movies, even if we thought we didn't want it. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that movie was my biggest surprise of the decade.
Yeah.
Biggest surprise. Okay, my screen went blank, so I was almost putting... We both have, like, ones that we would, other than Looper.
Do you think it's because we like each other and we like the same, and we like the same thing?
Well, you didn't like Looper.
Well, yeah, one out of how many?
Yeah, like. No, you're right. Well, our movie going experiences are usually together,
right?
And we won't rewatch anything that the other person hates. So yeah, it has a lot to do with us liking each other. Okay, let me see. I don't know if I should go for the big guns yet, give you what my favorite was of the decade or not. Okay. I'm gonna go with my next. It's gonna be a Marvel movie. I'm gonna stick to the theme. So I have Star Wars there. So far I got Looper, Chef, and Star Wars: Force Awakens.
Okay.
So let's stick with the cosmic super Marvel movie. I gotta go with Avengers: Infinity War.
Yeah.
It.
Yeah.
Everything that it built up to. It paid off. You left the theater...
Stunned.
You left the theater in complete anticipation for the next movie. Every character was utilized. I said, I don't know how they're going to pull this off. I was so scared that it was going to... You're always scared that that next big one is going to flop or be stupid or like, oh, the winning streak is over.
Because that was technically, correct me if I'm wrong, because there's so many and I get confused.
Mm-hmm.
This was essentially the trilogy of the Avengers stories, right? But it's broken up into two.
Broken up parts. Into two. And it's hard because I forget that Civil War isn't an Avengers movie because they're all in it. It's a Captain America
right,
movie.
Exactly.
So,
but that's why I posed the question.
Yeah, this was part three.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was done in two parts. Mm-hmm. It was a real... And you really went across the universe. You really got character development. Even in the movie where all these characters were previously developed, you got even more. And having...
Or it explained why their relationship was what they were because of the other stories that were told. Correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't this come out after Thor Ragnarok? Or did Ragnarok come after?
No, it came out...
So then that explains... Hulk and Thor or what's his face there?
Loki?
I forget. Thanos. Anyway, this is your thing.
No, though. it's ours because we...
No, but that's what I want to say. Like, because there was, you know, a rapport with certain characters amongst themselves,
It brought everybody into this main story where it felt like these people are here, those people are here. And whatever you were left off with last, even though it was like Black Panther before and Thor Ragnarok is where you leave off with it, where this story picks up, it's like perfect. But if you didn't see those other ones, it still works.
Mm-hmm.
It was such a masterstroke of how they took everything that you've seen and brought it into this... story, that
this
moment,
world, yeah.
Yeah, where you finally see Thanos in his full glory, where it was just snippets or, you know, cameo appearances
or
in the Guardians
movies. Wrinkly chin.
Yeah. Like you saw him in the Guardians movie, but he didn't do anything, just sit on his throne sort of thing. And now he's finally, he's got the gauntlet and we're off to the races. And it's just nonstop.
Yo, when the bad guy won.
Yeah.
That was a big deal to me.
It was.
And I honestly, and I don't know, maybe it was like, everybody knows that Bucky is the Winter Soldier. I didn't know, and I still resent you for spoiling that for me. But I didn't know this was going to be done in two parts. So when the movie ended the way it ended, I remember looking at you like, because then I saw credits. I was like,
what?
But there must be a mistake.
Yeah, yeah.
No, there's something after this. They're going to restart it and say, whoops, no, we're not done yet. But it actually finished that way. And I was like, no. No, that didn't happen. So, and it changed my whole ideology about, like, I didn't realize how much in agreement I was with Thanos. I agree with your pick there. Yeah, great, great pick.
And it was one of those things, too, where going to the theater to see it was something you'll always remember.
Mm.
I'm really thankful, you know, Martin was bringing me to the theater with him to the IMAX on Thursday night. It wasn't something that I ever really did or cared to do. But after we went to see Black Panther and he brought me to Avengers, it was these moments that felt so much bigger because you saw it in the right scope.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll never forget that moment where, in Infinity War specifically, Red Skull shows up.
That's right.
And it wasn't even on my mind.
Mm-hmm.
That he would be in this movie. Mm-hmm. If he wasn't in the movie, I wouldn't have been upset. But the fact that he was included, I was just like, oh.
They're taking it there.
They did it.
Yeah.
It was just perfect. So yeah, Infinity War will definitely be on that list of...
See, and that was one of the ones where I was saying, like, do I put this on my list because it was good and I liked it? Or because you'd be stupid to not put it on your list.
Yeah, it's like, I have to.
I have to, yeah.
Yeah, no, and I felt that way about Guardians, too. Feeling like...
Yeah, but I think there was a difference between Guardians and a difference between Avengers. Like, Avengers
had
a following and an investment versus Guardians of the Galaxy was kind of like, where'd they come from?
But that's the thing, though, is that in Avengers, everyone was anticipating it. Like, you had to deliver, whereas Guardians was this shot in the dark, it felt like. You weren't expecting it.
That's why.
And it completely surpassed every expectation. And it's still as good as the best Marvel movie. Mm-hmm. Whether or not it grossed the money or whatever the case may be, the replay value of it, it will be a forever movie.
Mm-hmm.
I feel. So.
Yeah, I agree.
I had the same problem with not picking Guardians. Go ahead. You're next.
The movie I'm going to select now was released in 2014.
Okay. Let me see what I got on 2014 here. It better not be my pick.
It won't be.
Okay.
I believe this was this director's first full film. The first direction. You're nodding your head like you know what I'm talking about.
I know what it is. I know, because it's in my italicized. I like this movie too.
Yeah, so this movie was directed by Miss Ava DuVernay. And it is called Selma.
If you didn't pick that movie, I would have said, I'm not podcasting with Daphne.
And you know what?
Mm.
I was trying to find this movie, I think not too long ago.
Both of us were. We didn't own it. I was shocked.
We didn't own it. And I went to Best Buy. That's an electronic store here in the city of Toronto and everywhere.
They have it in the States too.
Exactly. As I said that, I'm like, wait a minute. And this kid's like, how do you spell that? Selma. What's this movie about? I'm like, what? And I think you were on the phone and you heard me give him a little historical lesson right on the spot. And I'm like, you need to go back to school. But anyway, this was a historical biopic about the 1965 Civil Rights March. The voting rights that was happening then, from Selma to Montgomery. And what I liked about this movie, actually, it's one of the few films where it depicts Martin Luther King in the good and the ugly. Very few films will do that. Here, you know, there was his infidelities were put out there. And normally that's not the thing. Like, everybody knows it, but no one ever concentrates on that. And I'm not saying that, yeah, throw shade on the man, but it was very raw and honest. And it wasn't just about MLK, but it was about, it also included four other public figures that were responsible for the march at the time. And so it kind of piqued my interest and revved up this, there's so much more to this. And there's other people that were involved too. Not just, it's not just MLK, it's not just Rosa Parks, it's not just Malcolm X. There's other figures that are still relevant today and are still fighting that fight. Yeah. And it just made me want to educate myself a little bit more on who these people were.
Yeah. No, I watched that movie on DVD when it had come out. I think your dad had a copy of it. And it was a good movie. But at the time, I thought, I'm happy I've seen it. I don't know if I'd rewatch it because it's heavy and, you know, biopic. So it's kind of like, okay, I get it. It's a Malcolm or a Martin Luther King movie. Malcolm X actually in it. It's a Martin Luther King kind of biopic. Doesn't do his life. It just does like a portion. So I'm like, oh, okay, it was good. And then I read March with you. Yeah. And the movie made, it resonated, or not resonated necessarily the right word, but it hit me a lot more. It became much more important to me when I rewatched it. And yeah, I guess resonate is the word, because you read March and you're going through the life of John Lewis, who was standing, you know, beside Martin during this historic moment in history.
Arm in arm.
Arm literally. In arm, yeah. And not off topic, but a little tangent, is the highlight of the decade as far as podcasting goes for me was when me and you went to New York and actually got to meet Nate Powell and Andrew Iden, who did March.
That's right.
And so this movie is, for me, very closely linked to that moment and the effect that those books had on me. Mm-hmm. So I feel like this is a part of that whole experience.
Yeah, kind of like a full circle.
It's a full circle. So you see the movie, you know, it's important, you get it. It's a lot, applauded, allotted, all these different things. And then you do your own little bit of reading and research and getting informed about it on a different format, now that complementing each other.
Yeah.
And this movie is very meaningful to me because of all of that. So yeah, it's true. You're right. It has that that complexity to it.
Uh-huh.
Of
it's I will say, it's not one of those where, like, I want to rewatch. I think I've probably seen it a total, it from what I can remember, maybe 3 times.
I think you're right. I think 3 times.
Saw it the first time on some
bootleg DVD. Yeah.
Then I think we saw it again once it was released on a streaming service.
Mm-hmm. And then we owned it.
And then when you found it at the top of a bin for like what, $5?
I had been searching for it and wanting to buy it on Amazon and everything, and it just wasn't worth going that route. And I just said, I gotta find this movie. It was that same day you went to Best Buy, you couldn't find it. And of all places, I found it at a FreshCo grocery store. Because I said, I'm gonna go look in this bin for this movie that I can't seem to find anywhere I go. And it was staring me right at the top of the bin. And I'm like,
it's like at the top of the pile. It was top the of craziest pile.
I'm like, well, there you go. $1 million. I'm looking for $1 million. Haven't found it yet, but.
That's funny.
Yeah. So, good pick. And I was, you know, I thought, I wasn't sure, but I thought it would make your list.
Yeah, it did.
Okay. So, in that vein.
Okay.
I'm going to 2018. Possibly my favorite movie of the decade. Ooh. Not a Marvel movie.
Okay.
But it's a movie I really, really love. Some would say it's controversial. It's been awarded for what I think is worthwhile. I love the cast. I love the performances. Green Book.
Oh.
I love that movie.
Yes, you do.
I can watch it every day.
You do.
And I love the... I love the relationship of the genius musician and the very simple, basic Italian thug. It's a true story. I love their friendship and how they shouldn't be friends, but they can't help but be friends. And the loyalty that they have for each other.
Mm-hmm.
That at the end of it all, that grin, that smile, that sincere smile that Mahershala Ali's character has at the end of the movie when he's embraced by Viggo Mortensen's family makes it all worth it.
Yeah.
It's a simple story, whereas at the same time, it's a very complex story. Some people would say, oh, it's that typical white savior coming through to help him. I didn't see it that way. I saw it as a story of friendship and breaking down.
And growth.
Growth. Friendship, growth. The shoe being on the other foot where Mahershala, I always forget his name as much as I love this movie.
Doc? Shirley?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's a savant. He's a genius. He can speak many languages. He's a classical pianist, like the best of the best.
Mm-hmm.
And he's refining the, you know, rough-edged Italian guy from the Bronx and teaching him how to spell and to speak and to behave.
How to be a respectable human
yeah,
being.
Yeah, I loved it. I loved that. And it was very heartwarming.
It's a lovely movie.
Yeah.
It's just lovely.
I always feel good watching it. And a lot of times, yeah. Movies today are...
heightened.
Yeah, there's this almost like this... Not that this movie doesn't have it, but there's always this agenda nowadays in movies, I feel. Or you gotta leave kind of... You leave feeling kind of... Oh, the bad guy won, and whether it's Infinity War or whatever, is it good guys or bad guys? Everybody's a bad guy, but this one it was just friendship,
yeah,
and love, even if you're not supposed to, or people around you doesn't come naturally to them to have that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So Green Book, highly recommend it. You can watch it any time of year. If you want it to be a Christmas movie, it could be a Christmas movie.
That's true.
If you want it to be a road trip movie, it can mm-hmm. be. It's funny.
Yeah.
It's sincerely funny. And it also pulls at the heartstrings.
Dear Dolores.
Yeah.
D-E-A-R. This is an animal. That's one of my favorite.
It's so good.
Favorite parts. It's so good.
It's so good. And I like movies where there's movement. Like Chef, they're moving in their food truck. And in this one too, like they're going through the country, and different places that they visit offer different challenges, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So when they're in Tennessee or when they're in the Deep South or Pennsylvania or whatever the case may be, there's always some different nuance to what they experience based on where they are, and I love that.
Yeah.
So this movie, I was going to pick it last because I wasn't sure if you were going to pick it before me. Was it on your list?
It wasn't.
Okay, I thought it would be. But, I adore this movie.
Yeah, and didn't he got Best Actor, right? Or Best Supporting Actor?
I think and it got Best Film of the Year.
It did, right?
It did. Spike Lee wasn't too happy about it, but it did get Film of the Year, which I was very happy about.
I think you're going to be happy with my next pick.
Mm.
Because I think it's not what you expect me to choose, but you would understand why
okay.
I would choose it.
Okay.
This movie was released in 2014.
Okay, let me go to my 2014 list. See if I have it italicized. 2014. Okay. I'm gonna go with John Wick.
You will be surprised when I tell you Edge of Tomorrow.
I'm not surprised.
No?
No, I'm not surprised. Italicized.
Okay. Okay, but that just proves my point. You're not surprised, but maybe a little? No?
A little bit.
Because it's not my kind of movie, but I'm not into the whole, like, This, you know what it is? It's an action-packed Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
And I'm not into Groundhog Day. In fact, I've never even seen that movie.
You should. It's good.
No, you took pause.
I felt like you have. That's why.
I don't think I have.
It's and I don't. It's funny.
And I just never had the patience of like, what am I again? The yeah. same thing over and over and over again.
Yeah.
But this was very different for me.
I like Emily Blunt.
I like Emily Blunt. Yeah. I like her a lot. I like and her you know a lot. What I think I liked? It was this movie where I think I realized what a diverse actress she really is. Like this I think started it for me, because when I was first introduced to her, I watched The Devil Wears Prada, and she looks very typical. Yeah. Like snooty.
Yeah. European. I didn't like her actress in that, but I like her now.
I'm not saying, but that's what she looks like she would do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then she did The Quiet Place, or Quiet, mm-hmm. where it's just fully acting with mm-hmm. just your face. And then up until recently, I saw the Mary Poppins Returns.
Mm-hmm.
She's excellent in that movie.
She's good.
She's a very good actor. She sings.
You know where I had what you're describing now, that experience, was in Looper. She was in that movie, and I didn't recognize her.
She was the mom of the
She
guy.
Was the mom, yeah. Of the...
True.
Yeah, and I remember seeing her in that film, and I said, she looks familiar. And I said, is that so-and-so from Devil Wears Prada?
Did you know that this movie was a screenplay that was adapted from a Japanese 2004 light novel that was called All You Need Is Kill?
Yes.
Ugh. Why can't you just say, oh, thanks for that tidbit, Daph?
Because they mention it at the end of the movie.
They do?
Yeah. Based off of this book. And when I looked up the movie when we were watching it, I saw that it was inspired by that. So
I just learned that 5 seconds ago. And I was like, I only have 6 movies. Let me put something else on here. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be an extra factoid that I'm going to be able to bring to the podcast.
Not so much?
Ugh.
Ugh. Good pick, though. Good yeah, movie.
It's fun, actually.
Yeah. And you're right. It's exactly that. A sci-fi Groundhog Day.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a video game.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Tom Cruise is good.
That guy's been working since I don't know when. Since all he's been working on my life.
He's an alien. I maintain he's not a human being. He's almost 60 and he's still running and hanging off the side of a plane.
And breaking ankles and flying planes.
That guy's crazy.
Yeah.
He's crazy.
But you know, let me say something. Maybe I'm going to say something incorrect, but I think this was one of the, like, Emily Blunt, this was one of the movies that I felt that strong female role was starting to be introduced into Hollywood a little bit more before all the other things that started. Maybe I'm wrong, but this, I know for myself, stood out like, oh, a chick is... Because in her in this movie, her character was training him, the officer, because he was an officer with no combat experience.
That's an interesting way to look at it.
So this was like really roles reversed here.
Because, yeah, I was going to say like, you know, Lara Croft and, you know, Tomb Raider or Salt. I was thinking of like Angelina Jolie being in that kind of a role.
That's fine.
But you're right. The training
roles weren't there, but the fact that the man was inferior to the role that they typically play.
Yeah.
She took him and said, "Find me, and I'm gonna teach you how we can take these guys out."
That's true. I we're probably missing something, but even when I think of like the Avengers, Black Widow, she's surpassed by, you know, these superpowered guys in armored suits, mm-hmm. or there's, it's, you know, it's a boys club and she's there holding her own. Mm-hmm. But in this case, she's literally taking the guy under her wing saying, mm-hmm. no, that's, again,
that's
get
how
up.
I see it. I could be wrong.
No, I don't.
You can
don't.
Email us or tag us and tell me I'm wrong, but.
You just shut up.
But most likely I'm right. Anyway. Yeah. That was my pick there. And you now?
All right. What am I at? I've listed 5. Have I listed 5? Yes. So I'm going to stick to, I'm going to go back to the well of the Avengers. Avengers Endgame.
Ugh.
I anticipated after Infinity War the payoff, and again, worried that how are you going to correct all of this that they've done? Will it make sense? It could get very messy. And as much as the time travel aspect of Avengers Endgame could mess with some people, or even the beginning was like, some people were like, it was too slow in the beginning, not enough happened. You know what?
Are you comfortable?
I'm comfortable.
Okay.
The moments. This was the movie of really special moments, whether it was Paul Rudd seeing his daughter all grown up. That felt very sincere when he's like, you know, you're all grown up. Like that sense of joy and relief that he had in that moment. Or when Tony speaks to his father and has that in the past, and he has that moment of he makes peace in a way with his dad without his father knowing that they're making peace with each other. And then, of course, the send-off of Cap. And the deaths in the movie count.
Wow, you're saying all these things and I'm feeling like, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. Like, I completely forgot about all that.
It was such a, for me, it was a very, very satisfying end to a decade plus.
You know what? I'm going to say something ridiculous. I know that something had to happen because the bad guy could not get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big no-no.
Mm-hmm. Yes, of course.
But I wouldn't have been mad if they just would have let him win.
But, you know,
I get why they needed an actual conclusion and how things had to be addressed. But at the same time, kind of like, well.
But the interesting part was is that even though he wins and they essentially reverse it, he does still have his victory because they don't go back in time and change the moment so much as those 5 years continued. And even though whatever they reverse, people are coming back to a world where these 5 years have surpassed.
Or right, these and 5 years just as congested as when you left it, though.
But
like, let me say something, and I think I said it in many podcasts ago. I do like that that line where Cap says, you know, I saw a pod of whales on the way here. Less pollution. Like, there was, as dark and twisty as Thor's objective was.
Thanos.
Sorry, what did I say, Thor?
Yeah.
Thanos' objective was, it was for the... It was a fair,
but it was execution genocide, though.
Well, yeah.
But then.
But it wasn't like I'm targeting a certain part of the type of people like Hitler. He was like, it can be anything or anybody at any given moment. At the end of the day, it's so everyone can restart and learn from their previous mistakes.
And
what I'm just saying is, I'm still with the bad guy.
Sick.
I know that they needed to give it an ending, and as you're pointing out all of these things that made this movie good, I understand why it's on your list. It deserves to be on a list. Personally, I just wish they just would have let bygones be bygones. And I think that needs to teach this generation that there is consequences to your actions and you need to live with them. You're not always going to find a loophole to get out of something. You know what I'm saying? You show up to a job interview and you work. You don't expect to be an intern and then make it to top executive in a span of 6 months. You need to put in the work. You need to put in the sacrifice.
How does this movie, though, stop that from occurring in people's lives?
No, because I'm just saying that I think this was almost like an unsaid commentary on, well, if you're not happy with this, do something about it. And it's true, you should, but I think also, too, society is so spoiled these days. This next generation that's coming up doesn't know what consequences are.
But
they don't
think...
know what it is to live with. Just because you're unhappy, I'm not saying take it and live with it. But this could be the bubbly talking. But sometimes we don't always get what we want.
And that's what happens in the movie.
That's right, the, but then that's they the point of the movie. They couldn't live with that result, and they had to do something to the point where Tony had to lose his life. He had to lose his life, lose his family, lose what he longed for, lose what he fought for.
Exactly.
For the greater everybody else.
That's the point. That's exactly the point.
Well, call me selfish.
Because he would have... There were consequences to...
And was it because he was trying to do it for the greater good? Or was it his ego was like, well... I have it. I can do it. Why won't I? Because I'm Tony Stark and I have the equipment.
No, see, that was the point. He learned that. That's the beautiful part of the story, is that both him and Tony Stark and Steve Rogers both take each other's advice, where they kind of switch roles. Like, stop being so Captain America. Like, relax a little bit. And then, you know what, Tony? Go have a life. And Tony went and had a marriage and he had a child and he saw the beauty of seeing his legacy continue. And Cap learned to, he made peace with himself and went back and actually lived out his life and saw like what Tony did was actually worthwhile instead of...
I'm not saying it wasn't a beautiful movie.
But that I think that's the point, is that there is consequences for your choices. Whatever your choice, and it's the fact that the choice was taken from them.
Fine, but then there. But now, like I said, we're living in a world of instant gratification. If you don't like what you have, do something. And I think that is what we should do. But there's also the extreme of, I'm not going to stay here for this much and put in the work. I want this now. I want to undo what's been done unfairly to me because I don't deserve this. I come from here. I deserve this.
But the thing is beneath me. You have to earn it.
I'm not talking about humanity and its demise. I'm just talking like the society and social mentality that we're all living in today.
Yeah, but I don't think...
I've had people come into the office for an interview in their athletic wear. I'm sorry, do you want a job or do you want to go to the gym?
But what?
Which is it?
I don't see
and
how
then, and
letting
then,
Thanos win teaches all, that lesson.
And I've also heard people say, oh, I've worked this long for you and I've dabbled in this part of the profession. Do you think I'm ready to go to this place? You think they'll take me? How about you actually learn what's expected of you and execute it exquisitely before you think that you can just walk into somewhere and expect to be paid what a person that's put in 15, 20 years still learning to do, and you think that you're just going to walk in and
so Thanos
it's the bubbly.
So you want to Thanos snap those people is essentially what you're saying.
No. Anyway, this is your list. Go ahead,
and so yeah, and Endgame was a very satisfying bow to the Infinity Saga that they had begun with Iron Man Part 1. Is basically what I wanted to say.
Beautifully
Then you took it too.
Beautifully said. Yeah, I didn't have to interject. You can edit that part.
The millennials. Anyways, yeah, Endgame was a great sequel and a button to the Infinity War.
Yeah, it was.
It was.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I just hope it's not giving anyone any false pretenses as to how the world is supposed to move.
I don't think it does.
I hope not.
I don't think it does.
Fine. That's fine. As long as you're right.
Because people did die. Right?
Yeah.
Scarlett Johansson's character is gone. Tony Stark had to sacrifice himself. There was loss.
Yeah, but... Okay, you know what? It's fine. Let's move on. It's fine. Because obviously this is very personal. Next.
Your turn.
Okay. I didn't want to put this on my list.
Oh.
What?
So why did you put it on your list?
Because I had to.
Oh, why? Okay, I'll see after you list it.
It was released in 2017.
Okay, 2017. Let me see this. If I
got it on my list. How long have we been rambling now?
An hour and 20.
Oh my gosh, really?
Yeah.
We need to speed this up because it's going to get ridiculous.
Okay.
Can I just say it already?
Yeah.
Wonder Woman.
Wow. I did not expect you to put Wonder Woman.
Exactly.
Good movie, though.
Okay, I'm going to quickly say why it's on my list. I don't want it to be on my list.
Oh.
But it's on my list.
Okay? Okay.
Okay. It's everything that the other DCs aren't. DC movies aren't.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Okay, let me elaborate. There it had purpose.
Mm-hmm.
It was strong. It was fun. It was cunning yet light. And obviously, this whole like woman empowerment movie, first woman superhero role. And besides the other half of the, because you want to know why it shouldn't be on my list? Because I hate the other half of the part of that movie. It's ridiculous when she fights Ares. I don't understand it. It's such a waste of my time. But the first half of it, and when she's in no man's land, and when she's in England with what's his face, Joe Schmo there. What's his name? The pilot.
Chris Pine.
Yeah. What's his name?
Steve Trevor.
Yes. You know, learning that whole like living in a world with men and how women were viewed as beneath them, and her not accepting that, and Interesting take, and I liked it.
It was good.
And it was beautifully shot.
The third act.
And the Princess Bride was badass. Like, she was so cool in that movie. So I liked it for that, but nothing else beyond. However, because it had such a pivotal thing in this culture, especially today, it deserved to be on a list. So there you go. Next.
All right.
Do you have something to say?
No, I think you summed it up real well.
Yeah, because we're against the clock here.
We're not against the clock. This is our clock. We can put this in three parts, two parts. If people don't want to listen to it, they can listen to it in sections. Anyways, I'm at a junction point where I've got six listed. I don't know what my next three officially will be until I get to the last one. I'm saving it for last because it's my favorite movie. So
I thought your favorite movie was Green Book.
That's definitely up there. So I'm gonna go back in time a little bit to a movie that surprised me and I enjoy watching with you quite a bit. Makes me laugh.
Quite a bit.
Yeah, it's not a comedy.
Okay.
But it is in the good old fashioned vein of a summer blockbuster movie, and that's Super 8.
Oh yeah.
I really enjoyed Super 8
made it on my list.
Yeah, J.J. Abrams, before the Star Trek. This was after he had done the first Star Trek relaunch. But I like this movie a lot. It's kind of an E.T. feel, kind of a Stranger Things aesthetic before Stranger Things got on Netflix, and I love the all kids cast sort of thing, and the monster that you don't know what it is. There's that level of thriller, suspense, sci-fi, a little bit of
it checks all those boxes.
Yeah. And
the father-son relationship.
The father-son, the father-daughter, all of these things. Like living, you don't know what year it is necessarily when you watch it. You feel like it's in the 70s.
Yeah.
But it's never said. So it has that sense of that timeless feel as well.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed it. I didn't think I would. And it's one of those movies that anytime it's on, I'll watch it. And every now and then I feel like throwing in my Blu-ray of it and watching it from beginning to end with you. It's just one of those movies that I'll always, I think, enjoy. I don't think I'll ever be like, I'm over it.
It's
now.
It's true. Yeah. I can watch it at any time.
Yeah. And the kids have just enough character to each of them, like personality-wise, that you find each of them quirky and funny in their own way.
Mm-hmm.
So it was on my alternate list, but if I think of the decade, Super 8 is one that I'll remember.
And I remember when it came out how much you liked it.
Yeah, it's fun.
I remember watching that movie actually in New York.
Yeah.
In the theater.
Yeah, I think you had told me that you had seen it, and then I went to watch it. No, we weren't together.
I went with a friend, and again, one of those like surprising movies that I'm like, I don't know if I'm gonna watch it, but I think I'm gonna give it a shot.
Mm.
And I screamed in the theater. That I remember doing.
I remember you telling me, you gotta watch this movie. It's really good.
Did I watch it before you?
I think we either watched it the same weekend that we were apart. But you must... I think you watched it before me.
Yeah.
I think so. Super 8. That's my number in the 7. It's not number 7 spot or top, but it's the 7th listed.
This one came out in 2018. Directed by Mr. Spike Lee. Black Klansman.
Black Klansman's a good one.
It is an excellent one.
2018 was a pretty good year. Pretty good year.
Yeah. This movie was an outlandish, very real story.
Yeah.
About a detective, Ron Stallworth, who was the first African-American detective in Colorado, who infiltrates the KKK. There's nothing better than taking down a freaking Klansman. And the way they did it, it's so like, wait, did this really happen? It did. And it was taken from the book that he had written about his experience with this particular case. And I thought it was done great. It was done so Spike Lee-ish.
Yes, I was going to say, he was the right guy to direct it.
Absolutely the right guy to do it. John Davis Washington played said detective. Adam Driver was the white Ron Stallworth. If you haven't seen it, you got to see it. And it really resonates with... It's very cleverly done to mirror what was happening then to what's happening now.
Yeah.
And you walk away, or at least for myself, I walked away being, damn. Just damn.
Yeah.
And like, you know what? I didn't live then, but I'm living it now and nothing's changed. Like that kind of realization.
Scary. It's kind of scary.
Yeah. Bringing you to that realization, it was eye-opening. Not that I or you or the people around us are...
It's not that you don't know it, but sometimes when it's said, you're like, all right, take it easy with the hyperbole. We're not living in that era. But then when you kind of see the parallels to it...
And how subtle they might
subtle,
be.
Subtle. That's the key.
But then it's, you're like, wait a minute. Yeah. When you take a step back and take a beat, you're like, whoa.
That sounds familiar.
And it makes you think.
Yeah.
It makes you think. So that was had to be on my list.
Great movie.
Mm-hmm.
That was one that I wasn't sure if we'd be able to get a viewing at the theater. Because, you know, sometimes, even Green Book, it was like when it was coming out.
Couldn't find it.
Yeah. And then finally they it was spread out a little bit more. But it was still like, it didn't show everywhere.
Mm.
So I was worried that Black Klansman was going to end up being like limited cinemas availability.
Yeah.
But I was happy that and Green Book came out in the same year.
I find that a lot of like race relation type movies tends to happen to them. Like I remember I read some of the reviews and all that stuff, but like I remember Marshall. I couldn't find Marshall anywhere when that came out. There was a couple of movies where like, why don't we want to talk about this? Why isn't this everywhere?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't readily available.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, anyway, that's on my list.
Good pick. Good pick.
You?
Okay. I will say that I know my list has had a few Marvel movies so far, but I think the rest of my list will be capping it off.
Okay.
I can't help but mention Black Panther.
You just took it.
Black Panther, again, is a character who... People who are Marvel fans love the character, but he isn't as storied as a Captain America or a Spider-Man or, you know... He's had his runs in the comics where there are specific areas you can read his stories that are really strong, but it's not extensive. So for him to get his own feature film was exciting because you knew that they were going to hopefully base it off of really good material. And it was very culturally significant.
Mm-hmm.
It was everything that it needed to do, it did. It was a great story, very well shot movie. as far as a film is concerned, it hit all the marks. And then on top of that, the presentation of African people and what it would have meant to the African-American culture to be represented in a way that is regal and intelligent and not be your typical, we're telling another civil rights, slavery story, all of that sort of thing.
Yeah, I agree with you. It was also on my list. That was actually going to be next, since you stole it.
Sorry about
but
that.
But along with everything that you're saying, I thought it was a great movie overall, the commentary on colonialism.
Yeah,
that was big.
All kinds of stuff.
The black cultural touchstones
that
were in this movie. I don't think it was your average superhero movie, which I liked.
That's the thing too, right? It fit in the universe, but it also stood on its own.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I love that.
Yeah, and like you said, like the fact that it was a black lead character with a predominant black lead cast, like that was a big deal.
And it wasn't cheesy.
No. It was beautifully done.
Beautifully done.
Yeah.
A lot of people, I remember when the Oscars were coming out for that year, were like, oh, it shouldn't be there. It's only there because of such and such reason. And I'm like, listen, it was a great movie.
No, and that being said, I think it was a groundbreaking movie and a well-imagined superhero film that for it to be able, it managed to tap into the world of Hollywood and be taken seriously.
Yeah.
It didn't have to be like a Chris Nolan movie where all of a sudden like, yeah, this is Oscar-worthy nomination. It actually grabbed the attention of the world.
Yeah.
And rightfully so.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
I mentioned it before, going to the IMAX theater with Martin Slam Duncan, and that was the first one that I had seen in that sort of a setting with that vision, and I can't tell you.
Are you drinking any of this?
Yeah, I am. Of course I am. When I saw that scene of the coronation of T'Challa.
You told me it was one of the most beautiful scenes you've ever seen.
I got emotional in that moment. Because in the IMAX 3D, the way the screen was set up, the way the seats, he picked the perfect seats, everything about it. And it was, I felt like I was there. I thought it was so majestic. I thought it had like that sort of, it was futuristic while all at the same time being very much aboriginal. Or indigenous to Africa all at the same time. And I don't know what it was about that moment that was like, I don't know. It just, I'll always remember it.
Yeah.
It was a great.
I remember you came home and you told me like that was it was beautifully shot.
Ryan Coogler, who also did Creed. Great job. And it really, what I really liked about it was that it paid respect to the source material very, very well. All in the right spots.
Hmm.
So, Black Panther for sure.
So, since you stole two of mine.
Okay.
I have some honorable backups.
Okay.
And one of them, I have a couple, but I think I'm going to go with... I have a couple. Should I just name all of them?
Fine. Are you done with your list?
I'm done because I have no more. You took them.
Okay. Go ahead.
So, these were my honorable backups. 2011, I'm still going to keep going with my theme, 2011 Bridesmaids.
Great movie. One of the best comedies of the decade.
And they were all women.
All women, yep.
Followed by that, I don't know if I like this movie as much as I just appreciate the acting and the execution of the story that's being told.
Midnight in Paris.
I love that movie. Love that movie. No, I'm talking about Silver Linings Playbook.
Yeah, that's a great... That was on my italicized list.
It's not necessarily something I want to rewatch. I'm never in the mood to see it.
Good one, though.
But I think back and I'm like, that's a good movie.
It's a good movie.
And I very good tend movie. To not get lost in the characters. I don't see Jennifer Lawrence. I don't see Brad Cooper. I don't even see De Niro. Like,
Yeah.
I see the people they're telling me they are.
And you really feel like they're those people.
Yeah.
And they're part of those families.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's a great movie.
So I'm like, yeah, I don't care for this movie, but I can't deny its effect, its effectiveness, its execution.
Yeah, for sure.
Followed by that, in 2015, Spotlight.
Very good movie.
That's a hard movie to get through.
It's a tough subject.
That is not something I would ever rewatch. I've only seen it one time. But what I do like about that movie is that it does not only bring to light some of the horrific things that we hear of in news media, but just the art of journalism. Mm. Research, background, I think a lot of that is lost nowadays because of the technology that we're all readily have available at our fingertips. Like, even, again, I'm not a kid, I don't have kids, but I don't know what it is nowadays when they do their homework. It's just Google. You Google something. You don't even have to type it in anymore. You just say, hey, Google, and there you go. Mm. You'll get your answer back. Then, though, you actually had to go to the source. And you had to find someone that would corroborate a story. And it took a lot. You either had to desensitize yourself or I don't know, I imagine, or do the opposite to be able to have someone feel comfortable enough to not exploit themselves, but allow themselves to be comfortable enough to tell you something from within that they would never tell anyone. Mm-hmm. And yet it will be on a public forum. Mm-hmm. And I think, yeah, the art of journalism in that movie is something that I respect gratefully, cast. the way it's portrayed.
Yeah. It's a tough job when it's done right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Followed by that, in 2018, this movie was released, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
That is my next pick.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, bud.
No, that's okay.
So go ahead, tell us why you like it.
Well, you know what? Spider-Man is one of those it's that franchise, that Marvel character that should be the biggest of the bunch, but it's because it wasn't part of the umbrella, it's been tampered with a bit, where we'd never really get our fully developed Spider-Man movie. Mm. And then now that they were going to an animated version, and they were going to be doing Miles Morales, I was excited, but I wasn't sure how this was going to work. I hope it wasn't going to flop, because you know what I mean? And it surpassed all expectations again.
And for me, I didn't have any expectations. I think no. You were like, you want to watch it? Like, meh. I think you went to the theaters on your own.
I did. I went with a friend of the show, Adam Chapman.
There you go.
And we're both huge Spider-Man fans. And
then you started playing the Post Malone song over and over and over again. Sunflower?
Yeah.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the hell? Like, all right, already. We get it. You like the movie.
Yeah.
And then I think it was one day where you're like, do you want to watch it? Because I think you bought it.
I bought it. It's a great movie. And I felt it got better on subsequent viewings.
Yeah. I liked it more and more. But I thoroughly enjoyed it. And
it was well done.
And it didn't get, like, Best Animated Movie, yeah, it won, Oscar
it was, yeah, it was in that Oscar category. And I was thinking, I'm a fan of animated movies, whether I buy them, you know, direct to release DC animated movies or some of my favorites, but Toy Story was there, Incredibles 2 was there.
This has 11.5% alcohol in it?
Yeah, it's like a bottle of wine.
I don't feel it.
But out of all of the animated features of the decade, this one definitely left its mark. And it's probably the best Spider-Man movie because it really captures the essence of Spider-Man himself, Peter Parker. It hits all those notes that you want it to hit, as well as introducing this new character of Miles Morales, who deserves his time in the spotlight, getting a movie of his own. And it just opens the door to all of these potential movies that could come with the Spider-Verse, mm-hmm. which for me as a longtime Spider-Man fan, I'm always happy when Spider-Man is doing well.
This is the thing with Spider-Man. I like everything about him when you tell me about him. Mm. But I don't need to read a book about it. Because I feel like it's always like that down and you're like guy.
Yeah.
Who just nothing works out for him. It's just a bummer reading about Spider-Man all the time. He doesn't get the girl.
But he always gets the girl. That's the weird thing about him.
But it's a struggle. You know what I mean? It's always like it doesn't come easy. It may eventually come, but it doesn't come easy. Like he loses the job. He gets the job. He doesn't make it in time. He gets in trouble from Aunt May because he didn't make it in time for the birthday party. Then he loses his best friend. It's always like a downer, a downer, a downer. I'm like, I don't need to read this.
But
what I like about him when you tell me is that he is relatable.
Very.
He is any person from any background, anywhere, any gender, they can all relate to Peter Parker. And that's what I like about him.
And when he is a superhero, it's fun.
Right, because he doesn't shut up.
Yeah. Okay. And it's like, and I love New York City. And he operates best in the big city.
Mm.
So when I read his books, I'm in New York majority of the time. And his problems are, I get it.
Yeah.
I feel that.
Yeah, the only reason I read Spider-Man Blue, was it?
Yeah.
Was because we were doing that.
I think you would like.
Series.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't necessarily go for a Spider-Man story.
It's a matter of starting in a sweet spot with Spider-Man and just staying with it. Because you're right. All of the things you mentioned are part of the mythology and the essence of the character. But when you start in a spot where you want to just continue the, like, what's he going to do next? Where's he going to, like, how's he going to get out of that one? You can't help but just keep reading it. It's like the perfect soap opera of a comic book.
Yeah.
So seeing a Spider-Man movie that was quality and hit all those notes, very happy. And it had a style to it, very specific style.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, it gets better every time.
It was a fun, cute movie.
It was. Really. It really was. You have any other honorable mentions?
Yes, one more.
Tell me.
We just saw this just before the year wrapped up.
Knives Out?
No.
Oh. Tell me.
Marriage Story.
Wow.
On Netflix.
That's a recent pick, but it was a very good movie.
It was, it was a very good movie.
I gotta say, Adam Driver.
Yo, he's hitting it out of the park these days.
He's very good at his craft.
And I still want to see one more movie that he's in. I downloaded it a while back. I want to say almost a month ago. I still want to see The Report on Prime.
He's in it. There's another one that I saw on Netflix, Lucky Logan, that has a pretty fun cast. It's Adam Driver. It's Daniel Craig, Hilary Swank, and Channing Tatum.
Okay, I can't handle that Channing.
That's the only one. Channing Tatum, I always, Magic Mike or Step Up. But it...
That was a good movie.
He's...
No. That was a really good movie.
Inside joke. People won't get it.
Who cares? You get it.
But I will explain it. Me and Daph one time found ourselves going to the movies when there's nothing in the theater playing except Step Up. And we both left it saying, well, that was horrible. But the people that we left with both thought it was excellent. And with the most serious intent. And if you like Step Up, hey, all the power to you. But it's
not a good movie.
Wouldn't make my top 10 list of a decade. My last pick?
Mm.
I'm surprised you didn't mention it.
I probably wanted to, but I said, no, I can't. I won't.
My favorite movie of the decade.
Okay.
What do you think it is? I'll let you guess.
I don't know. Is it an animation movie?
No, it's not animation.
Is it a real movie?
It's real people in it, yes.
Is it a biopic?
No, it's not a biopic.
Is it an adventure pick?
Yes.
I don't know.
It's possibly my... outside of...
When was it released?
2014.
I don't know.
This is probably my favorite Marvel movie, potentially my favorite superhero.
It's another Marvel movie?
It is.
Your list is boring.
I know. It's so whack. But
mine,
this movie,
went everywhere. I had sports.
So did mine. I had Chef. I had Green Book. I had a couple on there that were different.
Yeah, I forgot about those. All right.
Okay. You took Moneyball and Inception from me. I wasn't going to steal those from you.
I didn't take them from you.
I know, they're yours. They were mine. They're yours, yeah. I know. To me, this is the will always be the best Marvel movie. Captain America, Creed? Winter Soldier.
Oh, Winter Soldier. Yeah. Absolutely. Yes. Sure.
I couldn't believe how...
Spoilers.
...good that movie was.
Spoiled it for me.
I spoiled it for Daph J because I said Bucky was the Winter Soldier. She didn't know that, and she said I ruined everything for her. But even still, the reveal when it happens with the music... I never thought I would like a superhero movie more than The Dark Knight. And when it came out, I said, it's almost as good as The Dark Knight. That was my review. That's how much I liked it.
Your initial reaction.
And I feel like it's better.
Yeah. It's a good movie.
It just doesn't let up.
Yeah.
It really explores all the characters involved. You get totally... It has the feeling of Jason Bourne type of movie.
Mm. Okay.
Like, it has espionage. Whether you like superheroes or not, I still think it will appeal. Because it tackles it, giving proper respect to the source material, even though it obviously has changes, you feel like it really paid respect to it. The essence of it is there. And it propelled, again, it was one of those moments that propelled Marvel Comics higher on my list of how much I love the art form and the history and mythology of these characters, because there was a lot of things that I ignored when you only have so much money to spend a week and you know that, oh, this is a really good book, but it's like, yeah, I'm not trading in Captain America for Batman. I don't care if Batman sucks. I'm reading Batman over Captain America.
Yeah.
And when movies are coming out as they should, you know, marketing and promotions, they start re-releasing things, special editions of them. So I had read the Winter Soldier book as kind of like a primer for the movie.
You like reading, huh?
I like reading a lot.
Hmm.
But Winter Soldier, man.
It was a good
movie. My favorite movie of the decade.
Yeah. I can definitely watch that and feel excited
about every time. It. Yeah. Every time.
Yeah, even still.
Yeah.
That was 2014?
That's 2014.
Wow.
Yeah. So
okay, worst movies of the decade. Tell right now. Batman vs. Superman.
That was the biggest disappointment.
No, it was worse.
Biggest disappointment. I don't know if it was the worst.
Okay. Next.
Suicide Squad was worse.
Suicide Squad was terrible. And it was more terrible? Justice League.
It wasn't worse. Those
were my top three. No, it really was.
Wasn't worse than Suicide Squad.
But it was still bad.
It wasn't
as good. It was terrible.
We lived in a decade where you had a Justice League movie, 4 Avengers movies, 3 Star Wars movies. No, 5 Star Wars movies. Rogue One is an honorable mention. That was a great movie.
You know what? It's a good movie, but friggin', like, everybody dies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody dies.
You know what else?
And that's what I like about that movie. Because sometimes we don't always get what we want now, don't we?
And another honorable...
Maybe the dingo ate your baby.
I'm going to put one more on my honorable mentions list.
Go ahead.
Man from U.N.C.L.E.
That's an excellent movie.
I really enjoyed Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Yo, and I didn't think I would. And just be like, yup. That's what I'm going to be when I grow up. Espionage. Mm-hmm.
Argo. The Hunger Games.
Hunger Games
was a good set of movies. And there's a lot that I didn't even watch. There's a lot of movies I didn't even watch.
Yo, you know what kept coming up when I had to do my research?
What kept coming
now
up?
Now I feel like we need to do movies. We need to watch these movies. Okay. Parasite, apparently?
Yeah. What's this shit? About? I'm not sure. How about World War Z?
Yo, as long as no dog dies, I'm all about that. But it's not a zombie movie. That's what I've been told. That's what they tricked me into watching it. They told me it wasn't a zombie movie. They said it was like a world aid.
Like a plague.
Like a bird flu situation.
Yeah, like a plague. Yeah,
not so much. I don't think so.
3 John Wicks. A lot of people died. A lot of people died.
But a dog died in that one. I've never seen the beginning of that movie, of the first one.
Yeah.
I've never seen it, and I will never see it.
Which was your year that you said, like, wow, a lot of
2014.
Movies? 2014 for me as well.
Well, I don't know why, because that's when, let me pull it up, that's when Toy Story came out.
Toy Story came out.
Toy Story was 20, no, sorry.
Toy Story came out in 2010.
10. Hold on, hold on. What did I say, 2014?
Mm-hmm.
Why did I say 2014 just off the hop like that?
2014 was good for me, too. I Captain America, Days of Future Past, X-Men, which I really liked a lot, Edge of Tomorrow, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, yes, because I think based on my list, that was the one that I had most reoccurring movies. So Selma, Edge of Tomorrow, Guardians of the Galaxy, and then I think following that, 2018 had the most, because I had Black Klansman, I had Black Panther, and then, yeah. So 2020, yeah, that's what that was.
Yeah. You know, same, my list is very similar to yours. You know what also made a pretty good comeback in the tens was the Mission Impossibles. Those are actually really good.
I like those. Yeah. I don't really like the early ones.
No, me neither. But those ones were good.
You know which kept coming up too? Like the James Bonds.
Yeah. Spectre was
Casino
really good.
It was Casino Royale? No.
And Skyfall.
Before that. Yes. Skyfall kept coming
out. That was a good one as well. I felt it was a pretty great decade of movies looking back at it all. Sometimes there's years that are better than others and sometimes you forget, but I definitely think that we just lived through the greatest movie saga of all time with the Marvel movies.
Yeah. Clearly, they were all on your list.
By far surpassing, I think, the Star Wars universe. Mm-hmm. People may disagree because it's 40 years old, but it does, it hits all of those spots with the Avengers series, with Guardians of the Galaxy. If you like sci-fi, if you like action, whatever it is, it's got it all.
Yeah.
And they tie it in very neatly. Everybody gets their like, nothing feels forced or rushed. And it was done in a decade.
Yeah.
And it was a great movie going experience.
Did they plan it that way? Or just so happened? Yeah,
I think they planned it that way, but I think as they go along, they write the stories as, you know, what's happened behind. But they pay respect to everybody else's movie. Even Ant-Man.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy. So, thank you, 2010s, for a great decade of movies, and thank you whoever was listening this long, hour and 52 minutes. But hey, we went through 20 movies.
That's right, we did. So,
high five.
Are you going to break it up into pieces?
Oh, this is an extravaganza. Thank you, Daph J.
Oh, you're always welcome.
And we're off to the 2020s and seeing what movies may come out then. Hopefully it's as good as the 2010s.
Is there anything you're looking forward to in the new year?
Oh, man. You know what? I think right now what I'm looking forward to, I don't know what's coming out in the 2020s. I know Black Widow's coming out, Wonder Woman, but I think I'm more excited for possible TV shows. Because I think that's the new wave of media and taking in these. I watch some movies now and I'm like, this would be better if it was in 10 episodes.
Right. Yeah.
Because there's relationships to explore and they should, you know, do more with just that story type of thing.
Yeah, I agree.
So I think that I'm looking forward to the Disney Plus channel and where they go with their properties because they can really go anywhere with them.
Okay.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, Daph J.
You're welcome.
This episode was sponsored by Bodacious, as always. And stay tuned for more of The Cave of Solitude in 2020. I'm excited. I kind of got a little bit of inspiration for the next year. Hopefully, I follow through with it. But as far as it goes right now, there are episodes in the queue that are going to be coming at you in the new year. And we're looking forward to that. Daph J.
Yo. Oh, hello. Bye.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, yeah.
You can email us at cavesolitude@outlook.com. Follow us on Facebook and leave us a review on iTunes. Please. Because it always helps.
Please.
Please. Thank you, everybody. This is Eric Anthony signing off.
Ciao.